distant future, next Sunday AD, there was a guy named Jonah, not too different from you or me.
Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Today, Thanksgiving marks the 30th anniversary of Mystery Science Theater 3000. If you are unfamiliar with the show, I don't know where you've been for the last 30 years. Maybe you weren't even born, but either way, you've been missing out. Show started in Minneapolis, and now it is back for a 12th season, which premieres today on Netflix. All six new episodes. Season 12, MST3K, The Gauntlet. The star of The Gauntlet, Jonah Ray, joins me now. Jonah, thanks for taking some time. I appreciate you being here.
Oh, of course. There's nothing I like doing than avoiding family.
Sure. Well, yeah, you could sneak off to the door. Listen, it's business. I'd love to stay and chat, but I have something I have to take care of. Very important. Showbiz stuff.
Yeah, showbiz stuff. That's these squares back home, my family, I call them squares now because I'm a big Hollywood showbiz guy.
Sure.
I get to say, hey, I got some showbiz stuff to do, and then I take a cigar and I go outside and read Variety.
And then you go back in and your mom still wants you to take out the garbage?
Yeah. That did happen once. I remember I did take a phone call once, and I was visiting my parents. They were living in Lake Tahoe, and then she said, hey, could you take out the garbage? And I was like, just had an angry phone call with an agent or some dumb thing like that. And then I went to take the garbage out, and I slipped on some ice and fell down, and then she laughed at me.
It keeps you humble, though, doesn't it? You need that a little bit in the business. Now, like you said, now you're a big shot. It's nice to be taken down a peg once in a while.
I've cut her out of my life.
Wow. That's harsher on the holidays. Wow. Happy Thanksgiving.
It makes dinner awkward. Yeah, you're right, but it's...
Yeah, that would be hard. Pass the potatoes. I thought you cut me out of your life. Well, on second
thought... You're temporarily back in until I get some second helpings.
Exactly. So this has got to be very exciting. You guys came back last year on Thanksgiving for season 11, and that was the result of an unbelievable Kickstarter campaign. First of all, for the uninitiated, and I do find it hard to believe that people wouldn't know what Mystery Science Theater 3000 is. Explain the show a little bit.
Well, essentially, it was started by a group of people in Minneapolis, being headed by Joel Hodgson, who was a kind of a well-established stand-up comedian at that time, and he made a show where he gets kidnapped by mad scientists who force him into watching the worst movies ever made, or cheesy movies, and he builds two robot friends to sit in the theater and make fun of the movies with. It was on local Minneapolis station, and then it went on to be on the Comedy Channel, which became Comedy Central, then they moved over to Sci-Fi, and it was a show that I grew up obsessed with, so it's incredible to have it back, and it's only tainted by my hatred of myself to have to watch it now with me on the screen.
Well, listen, that can be remedied, just to turn off the TV. But it's got to be exciting. How did you said you grew up obsessed with it? So how did you get involved, and how did you come to be the new host?
Well, I was obsessed with that and Comedy Central and all things comedy, and I moved out to Los Angeles in 2001 and started doing stand up and sketch and writing on shows and kind of just doing my own thing, never thinking that I would have a chance because the show was gone. I never thought I could really have a chance of being on the show. I thought I had to set my sights towards Saturday Night Live or something like that. And through doing stuff and meeting people, I started a podcast, and Joel was a guest on that podcast, and we kind of got along, and then we kind of remained friends. We worked together on writing some jokes for this other project he had, and then he just finally one day was like, "Hey, I'm thinking about bringing back the show, and I think you should be the guy." So it happened just kind of over amount of time of just, it's odd because it's literally a wish I had as a young comic to have the show come back and for me to be the host. And now I feel like I should have wished for world peace.
Yeah, well, you wasted the wish, but it benefits you. So I guess in the end, it works out again in your favor. The rest of us will have to keep trying, but congratulations.
Thanks.
So now he comes to you and he says, at this point, had he started the Kickstarter campaign, or was this, when he approached you, was that at the very germination of this idea?
Yeah, it was like he still hadn't even gotten the full rights back to do it, and it was way before the Kickstarter. And it was just kind of a thing where he was like, yeah, you should be the guy if I ever get it going again. And I was kind of like, yeah, we'll see. You know, you hear that stuff in this business all the time. It's like, I want you to be the guy for this thing. And then you go, oh, I'm going to get excited. I'm going to tell my parents, I'm telling all my friends. And then they're like, what happened to that thing? You're like, oh, it didn't work out. You know, so it's I just kind of put it off in my head and, you know, just focused on the rest of my career, and then it just kind of kept on building, and it kept on building, and then he was like, I'm going to do a Kickstarter. I was like, oh, Kickstarter, come on, dude.
No,
and then the Kickstarter blew up. Yeah.
Yeah, and he got made a ton of dough for the Kickstarter campaign, which propelled the project forward. It ended up on Netflix. It seems like that's where all the cool kids are now, Netflix.
Yeah, I mean it's so crazy. It's they're just putting out so much rad stuff, and I got like a ton of friends that have comedy specials on there, and you know my buddy Nick Kroll has Big Mouth cartoon mm-hmm. on there. It really is a place where people are really doing some really cool stuff, and it's really exciting to be on it. What's at all like even in a small way.
And they don't they kind of let you guys do what you want, right? They say, yeah, we've greenlit it. Here's the money. Go on, make your show.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, they chime in if you ask them, and they always kind of have stuff here and there, but they're not pushy about anything. And you know, even like what's crazy is, I guess in these new episodes, the head of Netflix was watching it with his kids, and then he's like, hey, I kind of have a couple audio notes, if that's okay. We're like, sure, of course, man. Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? More air horns or cowbell? What do you need, dude?
Or did they put more cowbell in?
It's nothing. We replace all jokes with cowbell sounds. I hope the audience appreciates that.
It's going to be a different season 12, but I think, if people have open minds, they'll go with it. Now, you've been saying that this is not a reboot. It's a continuation. And if that is true, for people who watched season 11, there was a cliffhanger that seemed to leave you in great peril. But since I'm talking to you, I'm guessing you survived. Is that a spoiler?
No, it's funny. You know, it was a surprise to me too when I first read that script. When we got to that episode, I was like, "Hold on, I die?" And then Joel's like, "No, it's a cliffhanger." But he also had this thing that, like, and it's because of the way the credits work on the show, you don't see it, but like in the credits of the last episode of last season, you see the spacesuit I've been working on the whole time. You know, and I'm in it, walking on the hull of the Satellite of Love. So you know, it's kind of it's there. You know, it's. It's just Joel being a real weirdo, genius madman.
So, well, that's good news, because it's got to be a little panicky if you're on a show, and then, as you said, you get the script, and you're like, wait a minute, I died? That means, oh, no, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I now know the stress levels on a very small scale that I guess anyone on The Walking Dead has on a week-to-week basis.
Week. So now, explain, if you can, what do you think, besides the fact that people grew up on the show like you did, what do you think is the draw to this? Because people have been going crazy about it. They've followed it for 10 years, and then they contributed all this, and now you guys have been on a live tour to promote the new season. What's the draw of Mystery Science Theater 3000?
You know, it's hard to say. It's such a specific thing. I wouldn't claim that it's for everybody, but it really is something that I just enjoy. And I think that everyone kind of does. Everyone kind of ends up watching bad movies with their friends and cracking jokes. I mean, that was like me growing up. And me and my friends would go out to, see punk bands. And we'd, go back to one of our houses afterwards and throw on an old horror movie and just crack jokes for the rest of the night. I mean, it's just kind of in our zeitgeist. I think even more now than it ever has before, because of the idea of like Twitter and YouTube and all these, kind of, everyone's constantly commenting on things that are happening. And I think the one thing that kind of bucks against that new style of comedy is truly that it's like these are full-length movies. These are longer than people are used to watching their comedy.
Right.
And I think it's just, it's fun and it's silly. And it really, it's like, It's not political. It's not taking a stand on anything. It's this. It's that true form of comedy that what we get, like what I heard from a lot of people on that tour, is that people are like, it's like, you know, me and my parents, or me and my grandparents, or me and this, like my uncles, or me and my family, we don't agree politically, or we don't have anything in common, but we can come together and enjoy Mystery Science Theater 3000. And that's really, really cool to see multi-generational people who might have completely different ideas about what's happening in the world, and really being able to laugh at, you know, cheesy movies with silly jokes with a doofus like me next to some robots.
Jonah Ray is my guest. He is Jonah Heston on Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Gauntlet. The new new season premieres later today on Netflix. Stream all six episodes. You can binge it when you're trying to escape your family after your uncle gets a little liquored up and your mom's getting cranky. Go in and watch Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Gauntlet. What, so what's the process? Because, you know, if we're not pulling the curtain back too much, everybody wants to believe, as they watch you guys do this, that you're watching the movie for the first time and this is all top-of-the-head stuff. That can't really be the case,
is
it?
It's not the case. No, it's not the case. Man, wouldn't we be so brilliant?
You'd be geniuses
if you were able to do that. Exactly. But, you know, it really is. It's but that's what we have to kind of play with, is that that we're experiencing the movie at the same time as the person watching it at home. And that's just, it's, you know, a long time ago I was talking to Jim Gaffigan, who is one of my favorite comics and an amazing comedian.
Yeah.
And he talked about, like, the idea of, like stand-up comedy being like, it's like you have to like let that audience know that this is happening right now, and you have to give a synthesized version of it. It's, you know, it's a little bit of acting. It's a little smoke and mirrors to be like, whoa, what's happening? Like, you have to make people believe that you're there together with them, and I think that helps the comedy a lot in it, for sure.
Are you surprised that there are this many bad movies that it fueled 10 seasons? And now you've gotten another two seasons out of it. Is there any end to these horrible movies?
Are you kidding? Think about the amount of movies you will say is a good movie. It's like the AFI, you know, American Film Institute. They have the 100 best movies. There's not much after that 100. And there have been millions of movies made over the years. I mean, we're coming into like the second century of, you know, cinema, and I think there will never be a lack of people trying their best and pulling off the worst.
So what kind of movies are we looking for this new season?
We got some real stinkers. we got our creme de la creme is a Mac and Me, which is a corporation got together, McDonald's and Coca-Cola and whatnot,
okay.
And they said, what if we tried to sell, just like E.T. had sales of Reese's Pieces go up after it came out, what if we made our own movie like that, and we just put in, like, there's like they're hanging out at McDonald's, the alien loves Coca-Cola, and it really feels like an undercover cop, like, going up to some high school students going, hey, fellow teens, do you know where the drugs are at? it just feels like it's like someone trying to pull something off on you. We also got Atlantic Rim, which is the newest movie that MST has ever done, which is a ripoff from Asylum Pictures of Pacific Rim.
Okay.
And Pacific Rim already not that good. Atlantic Rim much worse. Much worse.
So how many times do you watch it, or is it all scripted and you just go in, or do you have to watch these movies too and you're writing some of the dialogue?
If I'm not ripping the bandage off. Yeah, no, if we didn't talk about it, we would be doing a disservice to the writers who suffered through these pictures.
Yes.
It's only right to give them the nod that, and I'm one of the writers. I write on all the episodes, and so do, you know, the other actors, and then we have these other amazing writers. We got Elliot Kalin, who was the head writer of Daily Show with Jon Stewart for a long time.
Wow.
And we got some great people in there. Tammy Golden, who's like she's a Chicago native, and she's writing for us, and it's like we really sit down and we try to tackle about 12 minutes a day. You kind of write a bit on your own, and then you bring in your jokes into the writer's room, and then that writer's room kind of watches, you know, that 12 minutes over and over again for a few hours, and everyone's trying to pitch their jokes or add new jokes or come up with stuff, and then me and the head writer, or Joel and his one of his producers, you get down and then you go into a spreadsheet and you put all the jokes in. Wow. And you make sure they all fit and there's enough to go around.
See, and you guys, that's the magic of it, that you make it seem so easy that you know, people hear that explanation and go, I never would have guessed that many people were involved in making something so silly.
Yeah, that's my favorite kind of comedy too. A lot of effort going into something very silly.
Yes, exactly.
And that's a, you know, that's a thing where I always thought it'd be so easy to work on this show, and when I started working on it, I realized it's incredibly arduous and difficult, and it made me respect everyone that worked on the show for all those years before me so much more. And it's such an odd thing that the concept of the show, of being forced into this torturous process of being subjected to these movies, is actually what you have to go through to make the show. So the concept of the show is actually what you have to go through to make the show.
Well, and it goes back to what you were saying before, that you know, we all sit around commenting on things. You talked about going to punk rock concerts and you'd make fun of things like that. So, you know, when you're doing it just in your living room, you can have a lot of stinkers. When you're doing it on TV, you can't afford to have all those stinkers. That's why you have all these people working so hard and all these big, brilliant minds trying to come up with that one line that everybody goes, oh, yeah, I could have said that. No, you couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. It's and, you know, it's a thing that everyone thinks they could do. And it's funny, a question I get a lot where it's like, you know, when we do Q&As, people go like, how'd you get this job? Like, who are you? And it's one of those things where I have to kind of be like, well, I've been a professional comedian and writer for about 10 years. I think that might have something to do with being able to do this job.
Well, let me cross off my next question. Hang on. I got to cross that one off the list. Oh, boy. So who's coming back? Is everybody back from season 11? What's it going to look like when people tune into Netflix later today to watch Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Gauntlet?
You know, they're going to see they're going to see Felicia Day brilliantly playing the terrible King of Force. So they're going to see Patton Oswalt. What a dream to be able to, you know, be in the same show as one of my comedy heroes, Patton Oswalt.
So funny. And a great actor.
He's so funny. Great actor, great writer.
Yeah.
You know, his book, Silver Screen Fiend, is a great, actually, his book, Silver Screen Fiend, is such a great resource for, like, crazy movies, because he talks so much about films and that thing. And then, you know, we got Baron Vaughn doing the voice of Tom Servo. Baron Vaughn is, like, you know, I came up with him, and Hampton Yunt, who does the voice of Crow. Like, these are guys I came up with in the scene. We got Rebecca Hansen, who's, like, a Chicago Second City girl, you know, playing like Cynthia. And it's like, we got like this amazing cast. We got like a new cast member, Deanna Rooney, Chicago native. It still has a lot of that Midwest heart in this season. And, you know, we're really proud of that and holding on to that for sure. And yeah, it's like, it's just a real fun, real silly season. And we got a co-director, Rob Schraub, who is one of the most like brilliant minds. He's from Wisconsin. He had a comic book called Scud the Disposable Assassin, and him and Dan Harmon, who is the creator of co-creator of Rick and Morty and Community, like him and Rob Schraub have been doing this incredible thing in LA for over 10 years called Channel 101, where it's like, it's just this like great, like, you know, sketch and short film scene, and Rob Schraub is the director of this season, and he just really brings it so much to the table. It really is such a better season. I'm telling people to, even if they don't want to see the last season, because 14 episodes is a lot for this show, don't worry about it. Dive in on this new one.
So you can start up from scratch, and you're going to know where everything is. And we do know that Jonah Heston does live, because, you know, he's talking to us now. So that's very, very exciting. Any word? Now, when do they? So this new season drops today. It's being released on Netflix. Do they give you any hint of if there's going to, when they might make a decision? Do you know already? Will there be a season 13? You know, are we jinxing it to even ask? What's the future?
Who knows with this company? You know? I wish. It's like trying to decide. It's like, what do you think they're going to do? Who knows? They could do whatever they want. They're Netflix.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
have all the power. I hope they want more. We're just we're a tiny little show that gives a lot of people a lot of happiness. It's in their best interest in this climate to have a silly little robot
yes.
show. And to keep me employed, I think more than anything, keep me employed.
Listen, we already know you got the wish to get the show. You forego world peace to get your own show. Now I know the wish is for another season of Mystery Science Theater 3000. This season is The Gauntlet, and it premieres today on Netflix. 6 episodes, season 12. Jonah Ray, congratulations on this and everything else. And hopefully, if your stand-up brings you to Chicago, we can meet in person.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome to meet you face to face.
Now,
sure.
Listen, go and remind your family that you just had a big showbiz business to take care of, so you have to rest now. You're very tired.
Hold on, I'm going to do it from here. Mom, I'm busy. Showbiz deal, WGN, Chicago. You know it. She's all right.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jonah. Thanks so much.
Happy Thanksgiving. See you.
Take care. Bye-bye. That is Jonah Ray. He plays Jonah Heston on Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Gauntlet. Get it on Netflix today. More after this, WGN.